Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And, oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on a Friday. Look, we're going to break in from politics for a little bit. We got to spend a few minutes just talking through what's going to happen with sports in the days to come, which means we got to do a round of JP on sports. Hit me some applause.
JP on sports.
You like my ad hoc?
I almost don't want to make a sound effect. That one's good enough.
I think we need to do something for you, though, man. You deserve it. So this is like 4 weeks in a row now we've had JP on sports. There are people out there right now who will not call their bookies until you have spoken.
Well, if you're going off my Saturday picks, then don't trust me the last couple of weeks. It's been rough.
All right, so here's the deal. Those who don't know, JP on sports, we break it up into two segments. The first round is called the three and out. He gives us his top three stories to watch in the sporting world. And then we come back from a break and we do the two-minute warnings. He's got 2 minutes per topic to get as many as he can in. Mm-hmm. JP, three and out, go.
Well, the game of the week is from the SEC this week of Georgia at Texas this week. Number one Texas versus number five Georgia. Before the season started, we talked about how Texas only had two hard games, and it was Michigan and Georgia. They've gotten through Michigan, stomped them, and a lot of people think they may handle Georgia pretty easily as well. Which, if that's the case, I would bet there's going to be an undefeated Texas because they got through Oklahoma, they got through Michigan, and if they get through Georgia, there's nobody else really. So if Texas wins this game, you could look at potentially an SEC champion Texas, which I think will happen.
Neither one's coming off a bye week, are they?
Mm-mm. No, Georgia just played Mississippi State.
Yeah, that's right.
I thought they would kill them. They only won by 10, so they made it a bit more of a game than it should have been, and Texas steamrolled Oklahoma. They did a lot better than I expected against Oklahoma's defense. So Texas is coming off a hot win against their rival, and now they have the last of their hard games, really, against Georgia. So
okay, so Georgia is still, I don't want to sound like I'm making a pun, but still smarting over their loss to Alabama.
Yeah.
Licking their wounds a little bit, trying to regain lost ground. They're number five in the nation where they were number one.
They were number one before Alabama beat them.
All right, so are they changing up the gameplay any? Are they coming in with a new strategy? Anything going to change as they take the field with Tech? And where is it playing, by the way?
It's in Austin. It's at Texas.
Wow.
So okay. It's not going to not an easy game for Georgia. They haven't really changed it up much because even in the second half against Alabama, I mean, they took the lead with 2 minutes left and made that valiant comeback. So, they figured out Alabama's defense. So although they lost, you kind of have to come away from that loss like, okay, I mean, we played as bad of the first half as we could have played against Alabama and then had the lead in this, with 2 minutes left. So although they took an L on that one, they've gained back some momentum. They beat Auburn. They beat Mississippi State. They had a bye week in there too, I believe. And so now, they have a little bit of momentum playing Texas, but Texas also has momentum of they're the best team in the country. They just beat their rival 34-3, I believe it was. So it's gonna be a mighty crash of top SEC teams. But even if Georgia loses this game, truthfully, they still could be okay because their two losses are against a number four Alabama, I believe, when they play them, and then number one Texas. So,
all right. So clash of the Titans. Let's don't be shy. What's your prediction?
I think Texas will win. I wouldn't be surprised if it's pretty handedly, honestly. Texas is, by and far, Texas is the best team in the country right now.
All right, there's one. What's two?
Well, it's the third Saturday in October. That means it's Alabama versus Tennessee up in Knoxville.
Oh, that's right.
It's the first time Bama's played up there since they lost in 2022, ending their 15-year winning streak over Tennessee. But Alabama's about to hit this stretch where if they want to make the playoffs, they have to – They really have to win every game during this stretch. I mean, you could make an argument that if they lose one, they're still okay, but the fact that their first loss came to Vanderbilt doesn't make their it doesn't help them. So they really need to win out this stretch. They got Tennessee, Missouri, and then they got to go to LSU. So this is a rough stretch for them. But Tennessee lost to Arkansas 2 weeks ago and then barely beat Florida in overtime, which, if you ask me, is almost worse than not being almost losing to South Carolina. Florida's really, really bad, and that was in Knoxville. So Tennessee, they've been playing really slow. They started off, they had a hot start, and people were talking about them being one of the best four teams in the country. And then they lost to Arkansas, had that rough game against Florida last week. They haven't been very impressive. So both Alabama and Tennessee have had not very impressive performances the last 2 weeks. So this kind of game, I don't really know what to expect in this game, to be honest.
Okay, you're going to make a prediction? I mean, you're a Bama fan, I know, but what are you going to do?
I think Alabama will find a way to win this game, and because Tennessee has just – they've looked very beatable the last couple of games. Obviously, it's in Knoxville, so it's that's always a factor. Knoxville's a horribly hard place to play. But, you know, I think Alabama – I think this is almost a better matchup for them, honestly, playing against Tennessee. You know, they have a really fast-paced offense, which with the spread defense that Alabama has almost fits it better. You saw how they played against Georgia in the first half. Now we talk about the second half, but they had a good performance in the first half. I think it's not that bad of a matchup, but I think it being in Knoxville will be worrisome for Alabama fans, and rightfully so. It's a hard place to play.
The Bama fans won't outnumber the Volunteer fans this time in the stadium.
Not
like Vandy, where they had 60% of the seats.
No. And still ended up losing that game.
Yeah, exactly. All right, that's two. What's three?
Auburn is playing Missouri this week. Woo-hoo. Missouri, number
Battle
21.
Of the Tigers.
And this, I say must win. Every game from here on out from Auburn is really a must win. Although this is against a ranked Missouri team, number 21, this is a very gettable game for Auburn because Missouri has not looked very good. They almost lost to Vanderbilt, and they already have a loss on their record. I was not very high on Missouri coming into the season, and they've really been disappointing. They have not looked very good. This game is at Missouri, though, so Auburn's got to go on the road. But Auburn's coming off a bye week. They've, you know, any injuries they might have had, hopefully those have healed up, and they've had an extra week to game plan for Missouri. So, you know, this Auburn team, if they come up and go into Missouri and get a win, they could get some momentum going maybe and, you know, get on a little roll. But, yeah, this is a big must-win game for Hugh Freeze, with it being a ranked opponent too. But like I said, a very gettable ranked opponent. So
it is, and is it going to be Peyton Thorne again at the helm?
Yeah, I think they're going with Peyton Thorne from here on out. You know, I think they were hoping their backup Hank Smith, I believe it was Hank Smith was his name, didn't. Obviously, he threw 3.5 interceptions against Arkansas. So
yeah.
I think Peyton Thorne's their guy for now. But they have a commit. Five-star who flipped from Notre Dame, a quarterback coming in the next class. It's almost like from the Auburn fans I've seen, are looking to him to be the savior next year for Auburn.
Is he a commit or a portal?
He's a commit. He's coming out of high school. He's been committed to Notre Dame for quite some time, and Hugh Freeze was able to flip him. So although the quarterback play is bad right now for Auburn, help is on the way of Deuce Knight, who we come in next year. So
Deuce Knight.
It's a great name, too.
So we got a quarterback coming in named Deuce Knight.
Deuce Knight.
Is that his real name, Deuce?
I think so. That's all I've seen. I don't know if that's a nickname or not. But
that was a cocky mom and dad that said, what do you want to name him? Let's call him Deuce. I like it.
But for now, look, if Peyton Thorne can game manage. He didn't play that bad against Georgia. Georgia, I think, all around is just a much better team.
Yeah.
And Georgia didn't steamroll them like people thought they would. So, this, you know, I'm kind of wanting to pick Auburn in this game a little bit because this is a game.
Come on.
This is a game that Hugh Freeze would win. You know, having the bye week to rest up. Missouri is not that good, truth be told. But if they were able to go up to Missouri and get a win, that's a big win for Auburn this year.
So are you gonna put your neck out there? What are you gonna say? What are you gonna say? What are you gonna
say? I'm leaning towards Auburn right now. I'm gonna go for Auburn in this game.
Oh, nice.
I may look stupid on that, and if Auburn doesn't win this game, I'm probably not gonna pick Auburn the rest of the year. But this is just the type of game that Auburn wins. You know, off a bye week and a must win to get momentum going against a ranked team. I think Auburn could do it. If they lose, it'll be a close loss, I think.
All right, that is round one, three and out with JP on Sports. We're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back, and then we go into round two of JP on Sports where we do it. We call it the two-minute warning. I've got a timer. He's got 2 minutes to get the words out on whatever topics he's got in the sports world. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we're in round two of JP on Sports. So this is a section we call the two-minute warning. So first of all, I will say this. JP is like an encyclopedia of sports facts and trivia. And so this next section we do, he just runs the gamut, does whatever he wants to do, but it's 2 minutes per topic. I've got a timer. First topic, JP, go.
Well, it is a playoff baseball still going on, and we are in the conference championships for both leagues. We got the Yankees and the Guardians, formerly the Indians, but Yankees and the Guardians, and then you have the Dodgers and the Mets. And I've been really high on the Mets potentially going on to win the whole thing.
Yeah, you said that last week, I think.
Man, the Dodgers are looking really, really good right now. They got a 3-1 lead. They won last night's game handily. They got the best player in baseball now. Some people are saying the best player ever in Shohei Ohtani. Oh, yeah. And he's playing in his first playoffs. He's been in the league for like 4 or 5 years for the Angels, and he's just now playing in his first playoffs with the Dodgers. And he is carrying them through to potentially a World Series. It looks like they're going to beat the Mets pretty handily. And then on the other side, though, the Yankees have a 2-1 lead, but last night the Guardians walked them off in the 10th inning. So they got another game today in Cleveland. If the Guardians can make it 2-2, then we're going to have a tight series. But I think I speak for all baseball fans of I don't want to see a Yankees-Dodgers World Series.
No?
I don't think people want to see that. It's, you know,
Yankees-Dodgers fans do.
Yeah, I guess. But I foresee the ESPNs and everybody just shoving it down our throats of, you know, the Yankees and the Dodgers, the two, you know, most famous teams in the World Series. I think people want to see, you know, a Mets or a Guardian slip in there. But it looks like the Dodgers will be making the World Series. I think the Yankees still have a tight series on their hands somewhat. But Shohei Ohtani is, like I said, potentially, if he's not already, going to be the greatest baseball player ever. So it is fun to see him on a team that actually can compete in the playoffs and not the Angels, which they don't even make the playoffs. So there is that aspect. It's fun to see him playing at this time of the year, but I just really hope it's not Yankees-Dodgers.
And you got in with 6 seconds to spare. Well, all right. So, all right, no buzzer on that one. All right, next 2 minutes. By the way, I'm kind of intrigued by the fact that Dodgers legend Steve Garvey is running for Congress right now, and he may beat Adam Schiff out in California.
That would be a hoot. That would be crazy.
So maybe the Dodgers having their momentum will give him some political momentum. Who knows?
I'm good with that.
All right, next one. 2 minutes, go.
Well, I got to talk about this because I find this story fascinating. It's from the world of college football. So Oregon and Ohio State last week had a game come down to the very end. It was number 2 versus number 3. It came down to the last drive of the game. There was a moment in that game. I didn't catch it when it happened, but they brought it up after the game. So there was a moment where Ohio State was driving, last drive of the game. They needed a touchdown to win, or maybe it was a field goal. It was either a touchdown or a field goal to win. And there was about 12 seconds left, enough time for about 2 more plays. Oregon's coach Dan Lanning purposefully gets a 12-player-on-the-field penalty and costs him 5 yards, but he caught a loophole because if there's a 12, if there's a penalty for 12 men on the field, you don't reset the clock. So he sacrificed 5 yards for about 6 or 7 seconds of the clock to go off. So instead of 2 plays, Ohio State now has one play, you know, able to, they only have time for 1 play.
Wow.
So he sacrificed 5 yards for 6 or 7 seconds. Instead of 2 plays, they only got 1 play left.
That is shifty.
And Ohio State ended up losing. But the NCAA changed the rule because of that now.
So they changed it since last week?
Yes. So now teams have the opportunity to reset the game clock if that penalty is called. But I always love those things of they have to change the rule for you because you're able to find such a clever loophole that they have to change the rule for you.
Yeah.
How much research and preparing does Dan Lanning have to do? And in the moment, have the sense of, all right, you only have like 20 seconds to make that call. So we're going to purposely get a penalty to take 6 or 7 seconds off the clock and make them only have 1 play left. It's genius.
That is genius. Game management right there. That is somebody who knows the details of his profession. That is amazing.
But now that rule's changed. They might as well call it the Lanning rule now.
Time's up, 2 minutes. All right. Oh, that was very cool. The Lanning rule. They should.
Yeah, they should.
All right. Next, what we got time? Yeah, we do. 2 minutes. Go.
So basketball season is almost here. Woo. And tonight we have an exhibition game of Alabama is playing in Birmingham. The name of the auditorium they're playing in is slipping my mind. Let me pull that up real quick. They are playing in the Boutwell Auditorium.
The Boutwell, exactly.
Boutwell Auditorium. I think they're going to start doing the Bama and Boutwell every year. This is the first edition of it. Exhibition game against Wake Forest. But if you know, if there's any Bama fans out there who are solely football fans and haven't been paying attention to Alabama basketball, they may have last year. Obviously, Alabama made the Final Four, but Alabama is right now preseason number 2 in the AP poll, the highest ranking Alabama has ever had in preseason. So this Bama team is going to be very, very good. They're even better than the Final Four team last year. But for the Auburn fans out there, Auburn is number 11 in the ranking, so they're not too far behind. So right now we're looking at two of probably the best SEC basketball teams in the state of Alabama. And we have Mark Sears and Janai Broome were both on the preseason SEC team, and Mark Sears was the preseason SEC player of the year, as a, you know, they're kind of predicting him to win preseason or when predicting him to win SEC player of the year. So we got two very solid teams in the state of Alabama with Alabama and Auburn. This Alabama team, roster wise, a lot of people have them as the best roster in the country because they're returning Mark Sears, returning Grant Nelson, returning Jareen Stevenson, returning Latrell Reitzel. All of these good players from the Final Four team are back. And then they added guys like Aiden Hallway, who transferred from Auburn, by the way. It's a very interesting storyline there. And you got Youngblood transferring from South Florida, who's actually from Tuscaloosa. So key assets. And then you have Clifford, Big Cliff is what they call him, center, who's going to anchor down the defense. The Alabama team, the roster, I'm going to be honest, looks absolutely complete. So we'll have to take a look at that this season.
Time's up. 2 minutes. Yeah. And by the way, Bruce Pearl is actually one of my favorite sports personalities right now. Coach Pearl from Auburn is just a hoot.
He's one of the bravest guys in college sports.
Absolutely is.
Yeah.
Do we have time for one more 2 minute? What do we have?
We got 1 minute left. I can get a quick one in.
Yeah. So what you got?
So I want to talk about this Heisman race a little bit in college football, because it's coming down between Travis Hunter and Ashton Ginty for Boise State, it appears right now.
Boise State?
Mm-hmm. Ashton Ginty is having one of the best seasons for running back in history. I don't have it up right now, but I believe he's already over 1,000 yards on the year, and we're 8 games in.
Wow.
He's very impressive. But you have Travis Hunter, who is – plays both sides of the ball. He plays both offense and defense, which nobody does in college. He's maybe getting like 3 or 4 plays off a game, and if he goes into the draft, which he likely will, he'll be one of the top corners, but he also could be one of the top receivers. So very interesting Heisman race coming
JP
right
on
now.
Sports nailed it. All right, we're going to come back. I got plenty of text messages, and we're going to talk about some lab-grown meat. Oh, my gosh. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.